Chapter 42. The Century Ends. 100 years aflame with love again shall bid old earth goodbye. Mary Baker Eddy, 1900. Before the end of the 19th century, this letter from Calvin Fry appeared in the Sentinel. Our textbook. Inasmuch as numerous inquiries have been received by Mrs. Eddy's publisher, asking the meaning of two paragraphs, as they appeared in recent editions of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, she has restated the latter part of these paragraphs, so they will read in future editions of our textbook as follows. On page 127, last part of first paragraph, what God cannot do, man need not attempt. If God heals not the sick, they are not healed. In any case, feebler attempts would be hopeless, for no lesser power equals the infinite all power. But God can and does heal the sick. And on page 458, last half of first paragraph, some individuals assimilate truth more rapidly than others, but any student who adheres to the divine rules of Christian Science and practices them can demonstrate Christian Science, cast out error, heal the sick, and add continually to his store of spiritual understanding, potency, enlightenment, and success. By comparing the above with what is in the earlier editions of our textbook, it will readily be seen that the author has retained the original ideas and only clothed them in new dress, which by some readers may be more easily understood. Calvin A. Fry. The previous edition read, page 127, what God cannot do, man need not attempt. If God heals not the sick, it is because he cannot or will not. In either case, feebler attempts would be hopeless, for no lesser power equals the infinite all power. Page 458. Some individuals assimilate truth more rapidly than others, but I never knew a student who adhered to the divine precepts of this science and practiced them unselfishly, who did not heal the sick and add continually to his store of spiritual understanding, potency, enlightenment, and success. The teacher's next words for publication appeared in the New York Journal of December 23rd, Miscellany, page 256. This last Christmas message of the 19th century ended thus. To this auspicious Christmastide, which hallows the close of the 19th century, our hearts are kneeling humbly. We own his grace, reviving, healing. At this immortal hour, all human hate, pride, greed, lust should bow and own Christ's power, and the reign of truth and life divine make man's being pure and blessed. The close of the 19th century was marked by numerous celebrations, speeches, and articles. But perhaps none was more interesting than that which took place in the office of the mayor of Detroit, Michigan, on the eve of the new century. 2 days earlier, Mayor Maybury had sent the following letter to a few of the most prominent people in his city. I am particularly desirous that those who witness the coming of the 21st century shall have every evidence that those who are permitted to see the opening of the 20th century have appreciated the glorious inheritance of the century closing. And I am desirous that there should be put on record letters from men prominent in the commercial, religious, professional, and moral ongoing of the city and state. The letters so prepared will be placed in a box and sealed to be opened a century hence. If such a box had been deposited 100 years ago, how many facts of the history of Michigan, as well as of Detroit, would be disclosed that are now lost? I believe that the papers which I am seeking to put away in this form will be invaluable in the long future. Please do not disappoint me. News clippings of this event, of the sealing of the box to be deposited in the city archives for 100 years, and Mayor Mayberry's letter of greeting to the mayor of Detroit in 2001, were sent to editor Hanna, along with this cover letter. Dear brother, thinking that the enclosed clippings may contain some thoughts of interest to the field at large, I venture to send them with a copy of the mayor's letter to myself. It was he who introduced me at my lecture in November, and at its close expressed a great deal of interest in the subject. At his request, I prepared the article referred to, and it was laid away with the others to be opened a century hence, no one but the writers being aware of the contents at the present time, so far as I know. Yours in truth, Annie M. Knott. Mrs. Knott had been requested by the mayor to write an article for posterity on the subject, quote, Growth of Christian Science in Detroit in the 20th Century, unquote. It would be interesting to know what Mrs. Knott's expectations for the 20th century were. The prosperity of Christian Science at the turn of the century was cause for great rejoicing among the students, who expected ever-increasing prosperity in a glorious future. They had witnessed the marvels of the Church of Philadelphia, to which the Spirit saith, quote, Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, end quote. One who understood the seven churches as seven church ages and comprehended the sixth church age as the advent of Christian Science was aware of the further promise to the church in Philadelphia. Quote, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. End quote. The evidence seems to indicate, however, that the discoverer of scientific Christianity was the only one who understood the seven churches. Her followers were not even aware that the present prosperity was due solely to her founding footsteps. The founder, on the other hand, saw, even in her best students, a lack of scientific spiritual understanding and a constant resistance to spiritual demands. Such tenacity of material beliefs foretold a testing time, a seventh church age, a future far different from that expected by most scientists in 1900, in the path from sense to soul. When the editors of the New York World sent to Mrs. Eddy the query, quote, "What is the chief danger, social or political, that confronts the new century?" end quote, she responded, "Insufficient freedom." To my sense, the most imminent dangers confronting the coming century are robbing people of life and liberty under warrant of the scriptures, the rights of politics and human power, industrial slavery, insufficient freedom of honest competition, ritual, creed, and trusts in place of the golden rule. Quote, "Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them." End quote. Mrs. Eddy also foresaw a turn for woman in the future, as alluded to in her article, quote, "Man and Woman," end quote. And she may have foreseen racial problems when she said to a correspondent of the New York Herald, quote, "To my view, the idea of race is superior to the idea of sex," end quote. But she did not leave it there. In January of 1900, the Leader had written, "Satisfied." In January of 1901, she wrote, "The New Century. Thou, God-crowned, patient century, thine hour hath come. Eternity draws nigh, and beckoning from above, 100 years aflame with love, again shall bid old earth goodbye. And lo, the light, for heaven is nigh. New themes seraphic, life divine, and bliss that wipes the tears of time away will enter when they may, and bask in one eternal day. 'Tis writ on earth, on leaf and flower, love hath one race, one realm, one power. Dear God, how great, how good thou art, to heal humanity's sore heart, to probe the wound, then pour the balm, a life perfected, strong and calm, the dark domain of pain and sin surrenders, love doth enter in, and peace is won, and lost is vice, right reigns, and blood was not its price." The 19th century had drawn to its close, and God's chosen witness for this age could say in the words of St. Paul, quote, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith," end quote. A year earlier, she had written and published Satisfied, but she did not republish it at the century's end. Mary Baker Eddy's labors for the last 34 years of the 19th century are graphically expressed in two brief sentences she had written to her board of lectureship a few months earlier. Quote, "Millions may know that I am the founder of Christian Science. I alone know what that means." End quote.